The Gemara in Shkalim. Okay, the Gemara in Shkalim? I recommend it, it's really hard. The Gemara in Daf Ches talks about Rav Avahu came to a town, and his face was lighting up. And the Talmidim, I think of Rav Yochanan, they said, Avahu's face is lighting up. So Yochanan comes out and tells him, what new sefer did you find? What new chiddush did you find? Sam's had enough. And Ravo was like, I found the Tosefta. I found an old Tosefta I never found before. And it gave me an unbelievable, perspective on the sugya and on life. And I had never seen this before. And that Gemara for the last couple of weeks has really been on my mind. It won't leave because it's such an unrelatable idea in 2021 when there's really no concept of chiddush. When I was in college, I took a history class about like the revelations. I was a history major, so I took a lot of history classes. But one of them was the revelation of time, and I had to write an essay. This was probably 2008 or so, 2009, whenever I took it. If in the last 10 years there had been greater development in time, or like the smartphone development age, or in like the 1700s, what had a greater development of time, like when they came up with the printing press or et cetera, stuff like that. And my whole theory was I went with now is not such a great chiddush, and I mean the 1700s was a revelation because as time was going on, we went from the BlackBerry to the iPhone. Nothing was really a chiddush. Like whatever my children are going to use is going to be equivalent to this in 10, 15 years, which I have no idea what it's going to be. It's not going to surprise me that they came up with it. But back in the time, Rav Avahu was saying it was such a chiddush. I found something I'd never seen before. It's such a chiddush. And that idea is not really so much on what I'm going to talk about, but just that thought can't leave my head. Just how different of times we're living, that we just take everything for granted. There's no, oh, I got this. Oh, wow, this is an amazing, amazing idea. Like Rav Kahn's going to give you a shiur, and he might tell you something that really should blow you out of the water. And like, it doesn't. Nothing strikes us as being a chiddush nowadays, which is something to think about. I talk a little bit about time. I talked about it last time also, and we're going to get to ultimately. I'm going to talk a little bit about what maybe we should consider for next year. There's a story of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He came to Maariv. So I don't know what goes on in Leva Torah for Maariv. I know a little bit, or Shacharis. I know a little bit what goes on with Mincha. One of my biggest pet peeves is minyan not starting on time for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's annoying. Number two, it's Hashem comes and the minyan starting on time. So what in the heaven's name are we doing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the room and we're not starting? Like, who do we think we are to be like, oh, let's not start. Let's wait a minute or two. It drives me crazy. So I guess I'm in the same boat as the Lubavitcher Rebbe. The Lubavitcher Rebbe comes to Maariv and he asks one of the guys what time Maariv is. Guy says, 9:10, 9:15, whatever, one of those times. He's like, which one? He's like, Rabbi, can get your hearing checked. Either 9:10 or 9:15. He's like, what do you mean 9:10 or 9:15? Tell me the time. And he went crazy at the guy. The guy, like, obviously thinking for himself, I should have just, like, tried to avoid the Lubavitcher Rebbe and just walked ahead so I didn't have to deal with this. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained to him, like, we have no value of what time is. Like, we're like, okay, what's 5 minutes? We start Mincha 5 minutes late. We come to Shir 5 minutes late. We come to Davening 5 minutes late. we do everything 5 minutes late. What's 5 minutes? Because we have no perspective of what time is. That's really what it boils down to. And that gets a little bit to that Gemara. We just live in a time, like, everything's for granted. We have no appreciation for what we're able to do. What we're able to do in 5 minutes. The Lubavitcher Rebbe said the difference between 5 minutes, is a world. There's such a huge difference in what we can do and what we can do with 5 minutes. And to myself, I know there's times when, like, for 5 minutes I can do nothing, or I can think about whatever, something productive. And there's a lot that can be done in. For example, I could send 5 voice notes to alumni in 5 minutes. So that in itself is more productive than twiddling my thumbs. But there's a huge difference, and I think that that's sort of like the difference between like Shanaf and Shanavet. When you come back for Shanavet, you start to value what time is a little more. Some of us might hope when I have time I'll be able to learn in college. So this is true in YU, but it's certainly true for my friends who went to secular college, who would tell me they had like 2 hours of class a day, like 2 days a week. And I'm like, what do you do all week when you have... Okay, so they answer, you party a lot. Okay, I hear. Baruch Hashem, that didn't go on. So, I mean, unfortunately, it went on too much in YU, but, you know, maybe in Yavin. But, you know, there's a lot of time we have in our hands. There's really a lot of time. I wasn't feeling so great last night. I've actually been very happy. I was sick last week, and it was amazing because you're able to be sick and not have corona. I thought it was awesome. Like, you can actually have a stomach virus, not have corona, and everything's all right in the world. Like, you know, people have gotten sick before. I happened to not been feeling so well last night, so I was navigating, and I was in the mood to listen to Rav Eitan Feiner, because, you know, when you're not feeling well, that's how you revive yourself. You listen to the Gaon of all the Gaonim. And I came across this thing, Meaningful People. I had no idea what it was. I got the podcast after, then I listened to a little bit of the Mari Stoudemire podcast. This thing is phenomenal. Really, I mean, I've only listened to one and a half of them, but I think they're amazing. So I think Rav Feiner is one of the most special and unique and amazing human beings on the face of the planet. But I was listening to this podcast, okay? Wasn't feeling well, you know. Now, so this must be new. Also, YouTube, now you can listen on 2.0. That definitely is new. Like, last week you couldn't do that. I'm just waiting for, like, WhatsApp voice notes to get to 2.0. It's about time. I actually had that idea, like, a year ago. It's about time. So I was listening to Rav Feiner, which is very hard to listen on 2.0 because he speaks on 2.0, so it's, like, really listening on 4.0. But he was saying that his goal in life was he wanted to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. And he said it three times. I don't know if he was really kidding or not, but... you know, I don't know. Maybe he was really good at football or not. I don't know how good he was at football or not. But he basically went on that, like, when he finally realized he wasn't going to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, he wanted to be a lawyer. And he said that even he has cousins who are lawyers. So, like, when they talk about cases, like, it's very geschmack for him. He really enjoys it. So he said he was in Karen B'Yavne Shana Aleph. And he made it seem like he wasn't such a big learner. I mean, I know from, like, the stories of him, he was like an Eloy of all Eloys in high school. But it could just be that he's just naturally a genius in the whole family. But he said he wasn't really so into learning. And he'd gotten early admissions. His plan was to go after 1 year, go back to YU. And, you know, he's going to finish YU and he's going to be a lawyer. He's going to go to law school and become a lawyer. And he said, you know, he wasn't so into the drinking and drug scene either. Okay. That's each their own. Yes, it's fine. And he said, well, on Purim night... he did his first Bodidus. You know, you guys were, a lot of you, I saw you were doing your own thing on Purim. So he did his own thing on Purim, and he went up to wherever, and I don't really know, I couldn't tell you what was around Karen B'Yavne, but he went outside the yeshiva. He started looking up at, like, the sky, and he started, like, talking to Hashem. And he said at that point he realized his life wasn't meant for him to be a lawyer. It wasn't meant for him to be a lawyer. He had different meaning in life. He had to tell his parents he wasn't going to go back to YU, and he ended up, I really didn't know any of this. I was really fascinated. And then he went to Neri Yisrael for 8 years, and he came to Israel for a bunch of years. He's here for like 12 years, and they got into the whole story how he, this is really, actually, I cried, it's very, very sad. This, I didn't know. He was 12, his son just turned 12, Avraham Yishaya, named at the Chazon Ish, that was born with issues, and I think like to today, can't really talk and can't really do much, but... has shown him what the meaning of life really is and how to mean for each Jew, but he said that he just realized his life had to be different, and he has days he goes to bed at 4 a.m. because he's just thinking about his congregants and how much his life changed and the whole transformation of one Purim. Just he had one spiritual moment. He talked to Hashem and he realized that my calling is not to be a lawyer. And I've had the privilege of speaking with several of you, not all of you, several of you in the last few weeks since I made my appearance here a month ago, whatever it was. And it's not to this year. It's really probably if you was to go to, like, you know, Torah Shraga and Nativ and Shalom Bim and Rishid and talk to Shanaf guys, really everything's the same. Life is very much into the trajectory, which is why I like when you kind of answer. I liked your answer. You don't know what you're going to do for a living. I think that's normal. I think that's good. I think to be 18 and not know what you're going to do with your life, I think that makes a lot of sense. It also gives you the option of I'm not stuck that I have to do this. But I think in times, like, I can't come back. I can't do Shana Bet. Why can't I do Shana Bet? Because I have to do this. I have to do that. Because I got into this unique program some college in Virginia or Rhode Island or Tennessee or Nebraska or Maryland or, you know, whatever it might be, and I have to be that. That has to be where my life is taking me. There can't be any difference. There can't be any other option. And we're never open. We're never open to no, maybe things can be a little different. It doesn't have to go in that path. You know, I'm allowed to veer towards that path. You know, I'm allowed to say instead of going this way, I'm going to go that way or that way. You know, it doesn't always have to be the same. And it really opened my eyes when Rabbi Feiner said that he really was. And to think, and I'm going to be honest with each and every one of you, you're not going to be Rabbi Feiner. Not, but the good thing about that is when you go up to Shabbayim, God's not going to ask you why you are an Eitan Finder. He's not going to ask you that, you know. Because we're not going to be that. The guy is. Well, he tried to claim he doesn't have photographic memory, and if you just love Torah, you're able to remember it. I don't know. Somehow, like just being able to remember sports, it's not as easy as remembering like you know every single piece of Torah by heart. But I think he just has a photographic memory. We're not going to be him, but. What we all could do is we could have that idea in our head that whatever this path, like it could be like Jason, who's been thinking now for a long time, or whatever, or a day, or a month, whatever it is, about what he wants for his children, as opposed to growing up in like you know where do you go DRS?
What?
Where do you go to high school DRS?
Rambam,
as opposed to like you know living in West Hempstead and going to Rambam, and life has to. And life has to be, you know, you're wearing the back of your head, it's hard to see. And life has to be a certain way, like, you know, all right. But the idea that we're able to transform ourselves. So I said this last year when I spoke a lot, and it's something I really believe in. I hope I made more than two really good decisions in my life. But there's two decisions I made in my life that really stand out as being really, really good. Who I married. Now, for some, that could be a little harder. My wife lived a block and a half away from me, although it took me time to end up dating and marry my wife. But it wasn't like one of these like crazy stories that, you know, you had to go to like Yemen to be able to meet your wife. Like, you know, I didn't have that. That was the best decision I ever made in my life. And the second best decision I ever made was going Shana Bet. And I really do see in my life how different of an individual I am because of it. Now, times were very different. When I went to yeshiva, you know, we didn't we played Snake on our phone, and that was what took up our time. We didn't have the possibility to talk to anybody in the world or to, you know, basically be in shiur like while watching the football game. Now I actually had to do the amygdalas of going somewhere to watch the game, which I actually hold as much better because, you know, then like when you're physically not somewhere, like you know you're not there. Like the guys who aren't here today, like. They know they're physically not here. But if you're here while not here, that's kind of worse because you think you're here and you, like in your head, you think you're here, but physically you're here, but you know, mentally you're not really. But what I was able to gain through my year in Shana Bet, through my, immature Shana Bet, you have to go. What I was able to gain through my year, like just having passion and devotion for learning and for that being a real part of my life. And not only saying I want to learn an hour or 2 hours a day, but being able to, put the tools to make that, you know, to make that possible is a big deal. You know, Rav Kahn said last week to me, I don't know if you guys ever overhear my conversations when I have with him here, but he said, I believe in jest, but probably could have been true, that when he was in YU, nothing was expected from him. He only went 1 year in Eretz Yisrael. When you only go 1 year and you go to YU and you're in YP, like, they're like, what are you doing here, dude? Like, you know, the program you're supposed to be in is over there. Like I don't know why you're here. Like what are you doing? Like nothing's really expected. So he may have made this pretty clear. But first of all, I mentioned this last year. I talked to this year about Shana Bet. It's important to note that he wanted to come to Shana Bet. So there's two very big differences. There's one that I couldn't come back because you know some people do have respect for their parents, and that's not for now. You should all have respect for your parents. You should have a karas hatov. For your parents, and everybody should have tremendous, tremendous respect for their parents. And if they're really, you know, putting their foot down and they're telling you, no, it's just not happening, like, okay, you know, what are you gonna deal with? And then the other way, no, I don't want to be here. I know I gain everything I need to be successful in life to get to that point. And if I didn't ask you the question, how much you plan to learn when you're older, you certainly should be thinking about that question, what that goal is. So you need to do, if you think only 1 year, you know, 1 year, when I was doing nothing last year, you know, I didn't do anything productive my whole, you know, elementary and high school life. And now I came here 1 year to Leva Torah and I was so turned on and so inspired. And all I need is 1 year to be able to get that to being able to reach all my goals in life. But you'll probably be in for a rude awakening. But to really understand that he's a chiddush. Rav Kahana is a chiddush. You know, it's like Rav Avo when he found the Tosefta. That was a chiddush. He's a chiddush that he was able to be somebody who, you know, is inspiring and a role model and a growth oriented person who only went for 1 year. But I can tell you, and this isn't even going from other places, just in YU alone. No, not that YU has, you know, okay, I can't actually put this on YU Torah and say anything wrong about YU. But you know, it was just the, you know, oxymoron. But like, just from a lot of people went to YU who...
You do Torah Web, the other one.
I got to put on Torah Web, that's true. I got to get into Torah Web. But just from him alone, like, and from other people who are in YU, only did 1 year. Most of them, they don't have the strongest passion for learning because you need 1 year is about all getting excited. It's about, you know, having the Havamina to bring the Masechet Sanhedrin to Shir. You know, not so many people do that. Shana Bet is about actually opening up the Masechet Sanhedrin and actually learning it. And another thing is just in you know, I made a. When I was Shana Bet, really the end of Shana Aleph, I made a, I'm not really a pact with anyone, I ended up doing it, but I wanted to learn for 10 years. That was my goal. And then Shana Bet, I wanted to save for Shana Gimel. And I just wanted to go to yeshiva in Beit HaRav Yaakov Friedman's yeshiva. And my parents said no. And they're like, no, if you do that, you're never going to come back. I'm like, no, I'll come back. But like, deep down, we all knew I was never going to come back. And that's why, because you don't go to Rav Yaakov Friedman, unless you're John Ganoon, you don't go to Rav Yaakov Friedman for 1 year to only go for 1 year. Like, you're going to stay there for a very long time. And I wanted to learn for 10 years, so I only got to eight. I only got eight. So I still owe, a Kaddish Baruch Hu 2 years. But it dawned upon me that, you know, there the whole, when Yaakov leaves his home to go to Laban, he stops at Shem Ever for 14 years. He doesn't get punished for those 14 years. And the reason he went for 14 years is because, now again, obviously time is different than it is today, but the reason he went for 14 years is because the life he was about to prepare for dealing with love and for dealing with children, for everything that was going to come up in his life, he needed 14 years. Now, he got married at 77. I think that's when it was. So I'm not recommending anyone here get married at 77 and try to start a family. So, you know, we can only draw so many rayas we want from that story. But the important thing to know from that story is he understood that he needed more time for learning. And that was a very important revelation to me, that 1 year and then just starting and, okay, I'll try to finish college as quickly as possible and then try to start working. Like, That's not generally a model for success. And to have a plan of I want, and the only reason, to get to Jordan's point, the only reason why I wanted to learn for 10 years was that I'd be able to learn for an hour or 2 hours. And to get to your point, I only want to learn for 10 minutes. I'd want to learn for an hour or 2 hours. It wasn't setting up a life that I was going to want to learn for 8 hours a day. That wasn't realistic. Like, to get to that point, but understanding, and it could be that I'm different, it could be I'm unique, and most people only need like 1 year in Leva Torah, and then, like, you know, they're the biggest masmids in the world, and, you know, they're learning Rav Chaim the rest of their life. It could be. But realizing that was an important goal for me to be able to get to that point, and even more, like, you know, you never get that time. Life gets pretty crazy. Like, I'll say, like, and I don't have like crazy hours, but like just a normal work day for me. So I get home at like I get home like 5:20, let's say, and I'm like right outside my apartment, and I hear a lot of yelling. So I'm like, okay, my kids are all going crazy. They're probably not even wearing clothing. They're probably like throwing the, I'm probably going to go in, there's going to be food all over the place. There's going to be spaghetti over here. There's going to be meatballs over there. Then they're going to want to eat cheese with their meat. And I'm going to have to like tell them why they can't do that. Like, there's a million problems that were going to come up. And then, you know, you deal with bedtime, and then you're putting them in for bedtime and them coming out for an hour before they finally go to bed. And then the last thing in the world you want to do at that point at like 8 o'clock is finally learn, because, and I have like normal work hours, because you're utterly exhausted and your days are insane and life becomes crazy, or you'll have crazy, or you'll be a lawyer like Jimmy and have crazy hours, and you're going to basically have no time to do anything, that you don't really get that opportunity just to be able to sit, be able to do a chevra, be able to enjoy, be able to be like with Rav Khan and just enjoy like what a year is. And yeah, we can say like, I don't know, I'm gonna go to medical school and it's so many years. I'm gonna be a psychologist and it's so many years. What am I gonna do? And not only are they gonna be sports agents at 25, you know, representing like these high school studs now who we don't even know who they are. But like a lot of us will have to do like a lot of years of time. And yeah, I can't tell you that, okay, starting, you know, another year, it is a big deal. But like, I'll look back and I'll say right now, and there could be a huge knock for me. I learned for 3 years after college. And if I had worked for those 3 years, you know, I live in a four-bedroom apartment. I'm blessed to be able to own something in Eretz Yisrael. But probably if I had worked for those 3 years, I could live in a house and, you know, and not have to move to, like, Neria, like, having, you know, being afraid that I'm going to get, I'm going to have a settlement that's going to be taken over, that's going to be sold one day, and I'll be, like, out on the street. You know, I'm not worrying in Ramat Beit Shemesh and my settlement. I'm not worrying my settlement in Ramat Beit Shemesh is getting overtaken. I could have, like, bought a Ramat Beit Shemesh where it's like, you know, we're, like, really living in a real estate crisis. And okay, would a house be better than an apartment? Yeah, I grew up in a house. Sure, a house would be better. But I don't have one regret that I sat for 3 years and learned after college. Those were transformative years in my life. It made the biggest difference in my life. And for those of you that you know, are on the fence, not only, you know, on the fence of going Shana Bet, not fences and doing other things. Those of you that are on the fence, you know, it's and there could be a lot of reasons that are valid, but it's definitely very important to think about and to really realize that whatever your goals are going to be, to have them become real goals. And not, it's very easy to say to say goals. Like, I can say that you know, I want to wake up at 3 a.m. every day. But that involves waking up at 3 a.m. every day. So that's going to be, that's not so easy. It's much easier to say than to do it. But whatever our goals are going to be, you know, it's important to have as many years in of learning, of life committed fully to Torah, and not having to worry about school, not having to worry about, like, you know, going back. Like, you know, I want to, you know, it's like a hard thing. Like, you come back after 1 year, like, I want to be serious. I want to learn. Like, Rav Khan told me I have to do that, or, you know, Mark would come in occasionally and he would yell and do things that were crazy. And, like, we have to do that. Or, like, you know, Rav Tanel would, like, say, like, what are you doing going to college? And, like, you're going to want to do it, but you're still going to realize, wow, dual curriculum. I forgot how much I hate high school. You know, he's gonna remind you really quickly, like, when you're trying to do both. Like, wow, yeah, public school really has perks, or yeshiva really has perks. And you know, if you're on the fence, to realize what another year can be. Like, you can really, you know, at this point, you got to think about your future family also, and it's very, very different. It's very different, the future family that you're going to build based off how strong your Torah goals are. Like, you know, if Solomon goes from 100, you're 250. If you go from 100 to 200 hours of extra learning time next year, that's a big difference of what's going to be in 10 years. You go from 250 to 400, or you understand what 100 minyanim in a row means. You know, whatever that might be. And one day we're going to have that. One day we're going to have that. I don't get what it means either. But that's why I come up with the questions. I don't have to have the answers. But when we're able to go from one level to a next level, we're really able to see ourselves in a different venue, and we're creating a very, very different experience for ourselves. The last thing I'll conclude with, which wouldn't be necessarily a reason why I would say one should go Shana Bet, but I guess unique to your case this year, I think there's a lot of, I'm going to get my Sioni point in here. I think there's a lot of value to seeing the land of Eretz Yisrael, which I don't see so much, but I was so moved. About 3 weeks ago, we took a family trip on, right after the Seger, we took a family trip to the Kotel, and my kids were like in heaven. And my oldest kid is 5, so I had 5 and 4-year-olds who were in heaven that they got to see the Kotel. We don't do so much experience, but we don't do so much traveling, but I hold so strongly, if we go to Yerushalayim, we have to go to the Kotel. And there's a lot of value. You know, I have 3 little kids who like to whine and complain, so it's not so easy to take them anywhere. But you didn't really get to see the land this year. Now, you'll get to see it a little bit during Bein Hazmanim, for those of you that are staying here, but you didn't get so much to see the land. So I'm not saying to come back Shana Bet to just see the land and not learn. I think that would be terrible, so I'm not saying that's a reason why you should come back. But in of itself, that was something that you did lack this year, and you never know when you'll get back. And I have this guy who went to yeshiva 15 years ago. He was Shana Aleph when I was Shana Bet. I talked to him a lot. He tells me he hasn't been to yeshiva since he was Shana Aleph. Like, he hasn't been to Eretz Yisrael since he was Shana Aleph. That's 2007. He hasn't been here in 14 years. Like, you have no idea where life is going to take you, when the next time you'll be able to come here, when the next time you'll be able to see places. So that's a reason. That's another reason in of itself why there is value to being back here for another year. Obviously, I would still say the ikkar is that you'll have a point to learn and, like, what you'll be able to build ultimately for your family and your personal growth, which is very, very important, and getting a love for Torah, etc., and being around Rebbeim. All those reasons, like, you know, if Jake teaches Shana Bet again, just being around Jake for a year is in of itself, you know, the best thing one could ever do for their Avodas Hashem. So you could tell that through Jake. So that in of itself is a reason. But also, yeah, being able to see uh, being able to see the land is not something that should be taken for granted. Everyone should have an amazing, amazing...